Blog Talk Radio.
My God is real. He is real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. I can feel He made me whole. His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul. There are some things that I may not know. There are some places that I just can't go. But one thing for sure, my God is real. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul. My God is real. He's real in my soul. My God is real. He has washed and made me whole. And His love for me, it is like pure gold. My God is real. I can feel Him in my soul.
Praise God. This is the Macedonian Call around the globe coming to you again from Springboro, Ohio. And we want to thank you all for listening in and thank God for the opportunity to preach God's word one more time. And we want to praise the Lord and thank Him, for this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And I see we have several callers here tonight, but before we get started, we want to just right now, we want to go to prayer. Many prayer requests are coming in. We'll turn them in as we go, but we would like to start the broadcast tonight with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank You, Lord, for many blessings, dear Lord. We thank You for the opportunity to preach Your word, to reach those, dear God, that are maybe needing healed. Lord, most of all, they need salvation. And God, we ask that You open up their heart. Lord God, open up their understanding. Lord, You said, He that hath an ear, to let him hear what thus saith the Lord. And God, we know that we have natural ears to hear, but we know that also means opening up our hearts and our understanding to know what Your word is telling us. And we thank You, dear God, for this night. In the name of Jesus. And at this moment, we're going to have Rachel come on in, and she's going to read her scripture.
The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord searched the heart. I tried the reins, even to give it every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings.
Praise God. We appreciate her. That's our daughter. She's going to be 10 here soon, and we just thank the Lord for her. One of the prayer requests tonight is Amanda Kirby. She says, pray for her Aunt Karen Bryant to be healed in the name of Jesus. Michael Fonlin, he says, definitely pray for me. I still need God to move on things. I do have a praise report, he says, talking about God is taking him into a new spiritual levels. Also, he says to pray for a lady who visits the church where he goes, who is wanting to move this way, who is trying to find a place to live up here. That's where he lives, around his area there. So, and also pray for April Fox. She says, pray for me, sis, just something before the Lord and something He is dealing with her on. So pray for that. And Brother Tim Hall, He says to pray for him. Pray for him and his family and Sister Frieda Hall, his wife. Pray for them. And you notice that we couldn't hardly play any songs last week. I don't know what's going on with the internet. And we tried it again today, and it sounds like it's choppy, cutting in and out. So bear with us there. We apologize for that. It could be something in my computer. I don't know. So we're not going to waste any more time on all that. And we're going to have 770-584 to come in and tell us who you are and obey God.
Praise the Lord, Brother and Sister Green. This is Brother John from Thomaston, Georgia. We're just glad of the Lord, the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ for all of you. It's a privilege to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the opportunity to be with you and a part of this ministry tonight. Amen.
And Brother John, I'm sorry, go right ahead.
You want me to go ahead or, okay.
Yeah, I was just going to remind the people of the subject tonight was can you backslide, I believe is what the Lord, or is there such thing as backsliding? Go ahead, Brother John.
You know, the Bible says in Proverbs 14:14, it says, a backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. You know, Sister Rachel was sharing her scripture, that we know that the heart can be filled with backsliding, be filled with falling away, be filled with wantonness, be filled with wanting to wander away from God, be filled with the things of our own ways. You know, that we do know that the heart is deceitful above and deceitfully wicked above all things. But tonight I want to come out of Hebrews chapter 5 and chapter 6 in there, and looking at this maybe a little different than some people tonight, I want to lay a foundation. You know, the Bible speaks of an amen, and I believe that as I'm going first, you know, I've had a lot of experience in planting churches and planting things. So I believe tonight one of the reasons why God might have me going first is I'm a planter. I'm a church planter. You know, tonight the Bible says, speaks about Apollos planting, Paul planting and Apollos watering and God giving the increase. I know that there's many ministers here tonight on the program. We have different things, and amen, we'll be speaking about the same thing. But tonight I believe that God would have me come and plant a seed in your life, or although those coming behind me will water, and so they can bring forth, and God will give an increase tonight. But in Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 12, after we're talking about the priesthood of Lord Jesus Christ, the priesthood of Jesus Christ. We know, those of you that know the scriptures, amen, know that there was a tribe, the tribe of Levi was called to be the ministers, called, amen, as Aaron's rod budded, the family of Levi, the tribe of Levi, they were chosen to be the priest and the high priest. But we know tonight that we serve, those of you that know the scriptures know that Jesus Christ was after another order tonight. He was after the order of Melchizedek, unchangeable priesthood, mutable priesthood. Tonight, amen, in that order of Melchizedek. Then verse 12 says, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which should be the first principles of the oracles of God. In other words, at the time that we ought to be teaching the Word of God, at the time we ought to turn around and be instructing others in the Word of God. We've come to a place where we have to be instructed the first utterances, the beginning utterances, this milk of the word. We have to go back to the very beginning, the time that we ought to be instructing, at the time we ought to be teaching. We've come back and we've got to go back to the beginning. We've got to go back to, because we walk away from that which was the beginning. You know, Adam and Eve walked away with that which from in the beginning. Where they were first instructed, the first oracles, the first utterances of God, that they would may eat of every tree in the garden, except for the tree in the midst of the garden, amen, that thou shalt not eat thereof, for in the day that thou eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. There'll be a backsliding, there'll be a backing away. You know, the Bible says, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, there are reasons why we don't look back, the Bible speaks of, amen. When God sent the angels of the Lord to go in and he was getting ready to pour out his judgment and wrath upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot and his family had been there. And he told them to go and not to look back. And of course, we know, according to the scriptures, that Lot's wife did look back. Church, we're not to look back on our sins. We're not to look back on the things. The Bible says, forgetting those things which are behind, cut through the mark of the prize of the high calling. That looking back, that backsliding, not putting our hand to the plow. The Bible says, whosoever put his hand to the plow looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God. There's nothing back there, church. There's nothing back there tonight. Amen. There's nothing behind us. Amen. Except for the enemy, the Bible says that we are to put it. He is to be behind us. But the Bible says the first principles are the oracles of God. And I'll become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. In other words, when the time we ought to be teachers, that we should be on the full of meat, that we should be full of mature, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We have a need for milk. We have a need to not go any farther. Church, we need to move beyond that tonight, amen, as we've walked back and we've gone back. The Bible says that, amen, that we need not to draw back. God has no pleasure for us to draw back. But the Bible says in verse 13, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. And as we become unskillful in the word of God, we don't know how to handle the word of God. We don't know how to handle the meat. We don't know what to do with the meat. Jesus said in John chapter 4, he said, I have meat that you know not of. When the disciples went, amen, to the town, amen, he began to speak and he began to deal with this woman at the well, amen. Began to bring her into a place. Amen. Hallelujah. Here was a woman that had no dealing. Here was a woman whose heart was away because of him being a Jewish man. But she would come to the realization that he is the Messiah. She said, come see a man and tell him everything that I had. She had come and she began, amen, become skillful in the word of God. Amen. As the word of God was spoken to her. Christ is that word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. Tonight, church, we need to know that there was nothing that was not made by the word of God. The worlds were framed by the word of God. Tonight, we need to know, amen, the Bible says, verse 14, but strong meat belong to them who are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. When you use the word of God, you come to a place of discerning of the Spirit. You come to the place of discerning good and evil. Why is that important? Because Adam and Eve, if they would have, by reason of use of the word of God, if they would use and just meditate on the word of God that was spoken to them, the Bible says, blessed is the man who meditates in his law day and night, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters. Amen. And his leaves shall not fade, and whatsoever he doeth, it shall prosper. If Adam and Eve, in the beginning, had not fallen away, not only them, We fall away because we have a lack of faith. We fall away because the word of God doesn't keep us anymore. We fall away because the word of God is like we've forgotten it. We fall away because we've fallen out of love. We fall away because we don't want this divine authority over us. We fall away because we desire not to have this man rule over us. But the Bible says, going on down there to chapter 6, and beginning with verse 1.
Praise the Lord.
Therefore, having the principles of the doctrine, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, in other words, leaving the beginning. He says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending. What happened, church? We've left the beginning. We've left that which was in the beginning. We've left the Christ. We've left our first love. He talked about the church, amen, in Revelation, the seven churches. One of them was the church of Ephesus. The church, amen, had many things. They had found the apostles. They had found, amen, those that had lied. They had found. But he said, nevertheless, I have someone against thee. Thou hast left thy first love. This church was sound, but it was deficient in love. We walk away because we lose our love. The Bible says the love of many shall wax cold, but sin abounds. We are filled with our own ways, just like it says in Proverbs 14:14. We've left the principles of the doctrine or the instructions of Christ, not laying again the foundation. Let's go on to perfection. In other words, let's go on to completion. We've left the beginning to come to the ending. Some of you want to get to the end. Some of you have walked away from patience. Some of you, the Bible says, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. But we want to go from that first step. We want to go from that beginning. Because we can't leave the beginning out. We can't leave the Alpha out. We can't leave the Lord Jesus Christ out. We can't leave the beginning of this word. We can't leave the foundation. We want the full meal deal. We want to go from step one to whatever the last step is. It can't be. The Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We must go step by step, principle by principle, here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept. Not one step can be left out. Not one principle can be left out. Because if we leave the principle, we'll walk away. We'll backslide. We'll back away from the very beginning. Amen. You cannot have the house of God without the chief cornerstone. The Bible says that the master builders rejected the chief cornerstone. But we've been begotten again through a lively stone. But we have to have that lively stone. We can't walk away from it. We can't reject it. And the Bible says in verse 2, of the doctrine of baptism and of the laying on of hands, we can't walk away from baptism. We can't walk away from the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We can't walk away from water baptism. We can't walk away from a different thing, but we try to. And the Bible says, or the laying on of hands. In other words, the Bible says that there was gifts that given to them by the laying on of hands of the presbytery. In other words, the elders. Those who are mature, they give the gift. Those that have been ordained in the ministry, we need it on the laying on of hands. Not only are they ordaining it, but a laying on of hands of healing that comes by the laying on of hands. But we want to walk away from the doctrine of laying on of hands. We want to walk away from baptism. We want to walk away from the foundations, amen, and the principles of God. Then the Bible says, there in verse 3, this, it says, and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. We want to walk away from the principle of the resurrection of the dead. We want to walk away from the eternal judgment of God. We want to live the judgment of God. The Bible says that judgment must begin the house of God. We are that house, and it must begin with us. We can't lay aside judgment, church. We can't lay aside the judgment of God without that judgment in the end. Amen. Hallelujah. We cannot lay it aside. And the Bible says, and this will we do if God permits. That's what we want to do. We want to lay aside everything and go to the end. But you can't. You can't have the ending, church, tonight without the beginning. You can't have the promise. You can't have the inheritance. You can't have the land of promise without going through. The children of Israel, amen, had came out of Egypt. They could have said they were so close to the promise. Some of you tonight, and this is prophetic word, some of you are so close to the promise. But the Bible says, amen, in the land of Philistines, in the land of Palestine, in the land there that is the promise. These were warriors from their youth. These were men of war from their youth. But the children of Israel had been builders of cities. They were not men of war. They were not men and women of war. So they had to go through the wilderness. They had to be tempted. Church, tonight we have to go, saying not stranger than fiery trial with which we are to be tried tonight. You can't go from first step to the last step. You must come to the word of God. You must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom. Amen. They had to come through the way of the wilderness to receive the place of promise. For the Bible says, hallelujah, verse 4, for it's impossible for those who were once enlightened, and those who had their eyes open, who once had their eyes open and have tasted of the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted the good word of the Lord. The word of God is to be tasted, church, tonight. The heavenly gift is to be partaken of. The enlightening of the Holy Ghost is to be, our eyes are to be opened tonight. You know, the Bible speaks up in 1 Peter chapter 2, talking about verse 1 through 3, says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisy and envy and all evil speaking. These are the things that we are to lay down. These are the things that we are to walk away from. We are to walk away from malice. We are to walk away from guile. We are to walk away from being hypocritical and hypocrisy. We are to walk away and back away from envy. For where envy and strife is every evil work. We are to walk away from all evil speaking. As newborn babes, here's what we are to desire. We are to desire the sincere milk of the word, that we may grow thereby. If we taste of the Holy Ghost, if we taste of the sincere milk, that's how we grow. The Bible says, if so be that you have tasted of the Lord, he's gracious. We have tasted of his grace. We come to his grace. We want more of it. We come to his mercy. We want more of it. We come to his favor. We want more of it. We come to Jesus. We want more of it. We want to take him. We've been enlightened as we eat the word of God and have tasted the word of God, as it says in verse 5 of Hebrews chapter 6, and the powers of the world to come. We have tasted that everlasting life. We have tasted, amen, and the things of the life to come. We can taste it and be a part of it right now. But here's what happens. That is impossible. That once we have done this, verse 6, if they shall fall away. In other words, if we backslide after we have tasted, if we backslide after we've been enlightened, if we backslide after we have tasted the good word of God and the power to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance. In other words, it's impossible to bring them back and renew them to a place of coming back to God because they're walking away from God. And when they walk away from God, when they fall away from God and fall away from the Holy Ghost and fall away from the powers to come and fall away from the good word of God and fall away from his grace and mercy and his fruits and all these things, you've fallen away and you've gone farther and farther away from him. Seeing that they crucified to themselves. There's a crucifixion. There's an independent crucifixion. Seeing that they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh. In other words, here's what happens. When we walk away from Christ, we put him right back on the cross, church. We crucify him all over again afresh. There's a brand new crucifixion. Amen. You need to know tonight that once we come to him, he has already come down off the cross. He's already been in the grave. He's already resurrected. But what happens when we walk away from Christ? We take him and we crucify him all over again. The Bible says on the day of the feast of Passover, they put before him, amen, there was a prisoner. Pontius Pilate had the power to release one prisoner. He put before him Barabbas and Christ. And he said, which one would you have me to release unto you? And the crowd and the multitude said, and the Barabbas, he said, what would you have me to do with this Christ? For I find no fault with him. They said, crucify him. Crucify him. You need to know tonight, church, every step that you take back from Jesus Christ is every step that you put him back on the cross. Every step that you take away from the love of Christ, every step is that you put the hammer to the nail one more time and refresh him unto yourself. It's a personal crucifixion. It's a personal death. It's just you and Christ crucified all over again. You smite him. You blindfold him. You put him on a cross. You whip him. You scourge him. That's just one-on-one. It's a personal crucifixion. You put him right back on the cross. You crucify him afresh again, and the Bible says, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it and bringeth forth herbs meet for them. By whom it is blessed, receive the blessings from God. In other words, when you come and you receive the rain and you drink in the rain and you receive, amen, the showers of blessing, if that's the same thing. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you receive his blessing. You receive his promise as often as it is. It's just like the earth receiving in the rain. When you receive the Holy Ghost, receive the Spirit, receive the baptism, receive his blessing. It's just like the earth receiving in the rain. It's just showers of blessing all over again, all over again. But here it says in verse 8, that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. You need to know tonight, the Bible says, I believe it's in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17, says this. He says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first began at us, where shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? What's going to be the end of those that walk away and do not obey? Those that walk in disobedience, the Bible says, is nigh unto cursing. And, amen, the Bible says that when you walk in disobedience, you are cursed. When you're coming in and you're going out, you're cursed in the field, you're cursed in the store, you're cursed in the city. Everywhere you go, you're cursed. And see, he hung on the cross to be a curse for you, so that you would be blessed. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and has no sorrow tonight.
Praise God. Brother John? Praise the Lord. Brother Eddie, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I think he must have lost signal there. I don't see his number on the board anymore. I didn't know if we were having computer trouble because of the songs cutting in and out, or if it might have been Brother John's phone cutting in and out, but I had Brother Green here to check the wiring, and we're all still connected. So, Brother Yearwood, can you hear us okay?
Yes.
Praise the Lord, Sister Betty. Thank you for that. We're going to come to you right now with a song. Maybe Brother John can call back in. And if you're listening tonight and you want to be part of this broadcast, you call in at 347-989-8862. Again, it is 347-989-8862. If you want to reach us by email, it is heisrisen38@aol.com. I like to say it twice to give you a chance to get a pencil or a pen. It is heisrisen38@aol.com. Praise God. So our subject tonight is, can you backslide, or is there any such thing as backsliding? And of course, we know there is, but we like to bring the scriptures out to show you that things that you've done when you were a child, if you got saved maybe as a child, maybe 5 years old and older, or until you come to the age of accountability, you was all right with the Lord anyhow. But maybe you grew up knowing you were saved, and maybe when you become a teenager and that rebellion spirit took a hold of you, and but they told you you were saved, and you never went back to repent again of the things. You know, when I was a little girl, when I was about 5 years old, I had me a little dress. And now I'm age 47, I can't wear that same dress that I wore when I was 5 years old. And it's just the same as when you asked at 5 years old for the Lord to forgive you of your sins. If you're at whatever age you're at and you've got your own telephone, your own computer, and you're able to hear this broadcast, you know what you did back when you were five, of repenting of your sins. You know, Paul said, I die daily. We have to take up our cross daily. And we've got to be washed in the blood every day. We have to repent. Lord, if I've done anything that is wrong against you, I repent. And repent means you're sorry and that you won't do it again. It means a complete change and turnaround. And we got to get about the Father's business. We've got to get sincere about this. I don't see the news, but I see on Facebook a lot that our country is in bad shape. And I tell you, the Lord's coming is could be soon, could be very soon. And many different religions, denominations will certainly agree with that. And but you must be born again when the Lord comes. And he comes after the church. You better be ready. And I want to be ready, Brother Eddie. I want to make it to heaven. I want my name written there in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, if you couldn't backslide, then Judas Iscariot's name wouldn't have been blotted out. So your name can be blotted out of the Lamb's Book of Life. And there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but at the end it's death. So, you know, we need to get in our word and search it out and let the Spirit of God open this up to you and deal with you. And if anything, it displeases God. You know, sin's not going to enter in. Praise the Lord. I don't believe we're going to be sitting up there or sitting by the river of life, and which is Jesus. I don't believe we're going to be sitting there smoking cigarettes. I don't believe we're going to be there drinking.
Amen.
I don't believe alcohol. I don't believe we're going to be there saying cuss words. And, you know, I just don't believe we're going to be there. And, you know, Jesus, he can see. He has an all-seeing eye. He knows everything. There's nothing that can be hid. He will uncover it. Praise God. And we're going to come to you here with this song. Praise the Lord. Hope that it works without any skipping in it. Praise God.
Well, I tell you the best thing I ever did do was when I laid off your coat and I put on the news. I'll tell you the best thing I ever did. There were two coats before me, an old and a new.
God, I want to apologize for that, for the skip in there and in between. Don't know if it was Brother John's phone or if it's our computer, so I may call Blog Talk Radio and see what if other people's having problems. And we're not going to hesitate any further. And we've got Brother Eddie, 423-562. Come on in, Brother Eddie, and obey the Lord.
Praise the Lord. It's good to be here tonight. It's good to be with y'all on the telephone, on the radio tonight. And I'd like to try to bring a message out of the third chapter of the book of Hebrew. And I was looking and I began to studying for this, and this is a scripture that we felt like the Lord would have us to bring. And starting in the sixth verse, it, but as Christ has a son over his own house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. And, brother, I like that where he says that if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of hope firm unto the end. And brother, the Bible says in another place that he that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. And, brother, I'll tell you tonight that we're preaching on being backslider. Can you backslide tonight? And, brother, when you give up that confidence that you've got, and you give up that rejoicing, you give up that, you give up that hope, and you let it go, then, brother, then you're going back, and you're turning back into the world. And it said in verse 7, wherefore, now listen to this, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. And brother, I want you to know that Moses, he sent 10, he sent 12 spies into the land of Canaan to spy it out to see if it was all that God said it would be. And he sent them in there, and they came back, and there was 10 of them had a bad witness, and there was 2 of them that had a good witness. And brother, the one that had the bad witness, they said, yeah, it was truly like the Lord said it was, but said there's a giant in there, and we can't take the land, we can't take it because of the illness. And brother, they was 2, they give a testimony, Yeah, we can take it. And the Lord told Moses, said, get you out of here and turn into another way. And brother, I want you to know tonight that they turned and they started into another way. And brother, he said, all from the 20 years old and up was going to die. And brother, then he said that their children would inherit the land of Canaan, the one that they give the land that God wanted to give the children of Israel. And then he said they would wander until that they had all passed away from 20 years old and upward. Brother, he said here, harden not your heart as in the provocation, in the day of temptation, in the wilderness. And brother, whatever you can harden your heart against the Lord. And you might say, brother, how do you harden your heart? You refuse to listen and give heed unto what God will have you to do. And when the Spirit of God speaks into your heart and leading you to do something or dealing with you to do something, and you refuse to do that, and you turn a deep ear to it. And brother, it's like the song says, that sin will take you further than you want to go, and it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. Brother, I want you to know today there's a doctrine here, brother, in this country that says that once you've been saved, it don't matter what you do, that you can't ever be backslid, or you can't ever be lost again. But brother, I want you to know today, brother, anybody that's been saved, that's been washed in the blood of Jesus, and if they become alive after that, brother, the Bible says no lies shall have their part, they shall have their part in the lake that burns with fire. And brother, they'll not enter in, and the one that becomes a drunkard, they'll have no part in the place that God's got prepared for them that love him. And brother, I want you to know today, if anybody goes out and they become a murderer, the Bible says that no murderer shall enter in. Brother, I want you to know these people, they harden their heart. They wouldn't listen to God when God began to tell them what he wanted them to do, but they refused that. And it's the same way with us today. If we refuse to hear God's voice, then God, brother, will begin to harden their heart. And the more we do that, the less we'll be able to hear God's voice. Brother says, when your father's tempted me and proved me and saw my work for 40 years, I was grieved when that generation said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known in my way. So I swear in my lap, they shall not enter into my rest. And brother, I want you to know that they all died out from 20 years old on up, and the children went on in. Brother, there's a lot of people today that use their children for an excuse not to do what God would have them to do. But let me tell you today, honey, God give those children to people. Brother, he can take those children away. Brother, I want you to know that it's not only that, but brother, when you begin to refuse to obey God, the Bible says obedience is better than sacrifice. Brother, when we begin to obey God, brother, it brings the blessing of God upon us. It's like John was preaching a while ago. Brother, that we'll be blessed in our going in, going out and coming in. We'll be blessed when we obey the Lord and do what God would have us to do. Brother said, take heed to us, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Brother, you can depart from him. You might say, how do you do that? Brother, you turn your back on the God. You may have served God, and you turn your back on him. Brother, but then you have to serve him to be able to turn your back on him. And you go off over yonder. And brother, I was studying, and I began to think about David, how that he got out one day. He was at the castle, and he should have been out fighting wars with his army. He should have been leading them, but he stayed behind, and he stayed at his own castle. And brother, he saw a woman bathing, and he looked on that woman. Brother, he lusted after that woman, and he sent and got that woman, and that woman, she had a child by him. And brother, I'll tell you today that David even called her husband in and tried to trick him into going and pretending that he would be the father of that baby to cover his own sin up. And when he wouldn't do that, bless God, David came to the front of battle when the battle was raging hard, and he said, you lie up there. And he told Joab to withdraw from him in the hottest part of the battle. And brother, he did that. And he killed Uriah. They killed Uriah. And bless God, whenever he heard that he was dead, and brother, when Bathsheba was through mourning, David sent God her and brought her into his own house. But God, he wasn't through with David. Brother, and he left him in there. They sent Nathan to him and told him, he said, that you called great to run for people to blaspheme my name because of what he had done. Brother, I want you to know today that God, brother, he took the child's life because David had turned and he had went back. He had turned from God. Brother, I want you to know tonight that there is a way that seems right unto man, but the end of his death. And brother, whenever you go about to establish your own righteousness, it's like, brother, in the book of Galatians, he said over there, brother, he said, Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. And that's Galatians 5:4. And when you go about to use the law, and brother, that God had back unto the Old Testament, brother, which could justify nobody, and it can't justify anybody today. It takes the shed blood of Jesus to justify. And brother, I'll tell you, whenever that somebody is back, backslid on God, when somebody turns around and walks away from God, it's just like Samson. God raised Samson up to judge Israel and to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Brother, and for 20 years, Samson went about doing God's work, but he got his eye on a woman. Brother, when he got his eye on her, he began to go into her, and brother, his heart turned further and further away from God, and until finally he told her his secret of where his strength lies. And brother, whenever he told her, she called him in men and told them what Samson had told her, and they shaved his head off and his hair off his head. And brother, whenever this began to happen, brother, she said, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. And Samson got up. He said, I'll get out of here as I did beforehand. But he didn't know that God had departed from him. Samson backslid on God. And brother, I want you to know he lost his power with God. He lost the thing that God had called him to do. He lost that today. You see, we don't, God don't have to have us, but we have to have God. And brother, I want you to know tonight that Samson, they put his eyes out and they put him down into the grain house. Brother, grinding meal, grinding flour out of the grain that they brought in. And brother, all because, brother, he backslid from God. And brother, I want you to know today, brother, that the Bible said that his hair began to grow. And brother, one day the Philistines was out there and they was making us having a party. They was having a great gathering of people around. All the princes and all the rulers and all the people were there, and they were in the temple, and they said, let's get Samson and bring him out that he may make sport to us. And brother, when they brought him out there, brother, he asked the person, the boy that brought him out, to lean him on the two pillars that held up the temple. And brother, he laid him on there, and he asked God to avenge him for losing his eyes. And he started pushing on those pillars, and he pushed those pillars out, and there was about 3,000 people on that temple, and they were all killed. What am I saying tonight? I'm saying that Samson, he didn't listen to the Spirit of God. You see, when you begin to follow Jesus, the Spirit of God, who is the Comforter, he'll come to you, brother, and he will deal with you about things in your life. He will deal with you about the things that he'd have you to do, about God's will in your life. And brother, if you begin to say, well, I don't like that, and I don't think I'll do that, brother, you begin to go away from him. And brother, he begins to fade away in your life, and you can't hear him as plain. But brother, I want you to know, when you begin to turn to him, you listen to him, and you turn toward him, and you hear what he's telling you, and you obey him, and you begin to do that, brother, you begin to grow stronger, you begin to grow up in the Lord, brother, and you don't got to worry about the Bible said in one place that he's able to save them unto the uttermost. Brother God, brother, I believe that he saved us because, brother, not to live for him a little while and then turn back on him, but he saved us, and he wanted us to live for him for all their days on the earth, brother, and even going into eternity. Brother, he said, take heed therefore, brethren, lest there be any of you, an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Oh, he said, beware. That's a warning. Let me tell you today, there's people today that's in hell because they turned their back on God. And brother, I'll tell you something. Brother, there's people right now that would give anything if they had another chance to come back and turn back to the Lord, because they backslid on God and they wouldn't hear what God was trying to tell them. Brother, I want you to know, there was another man, David's son named Solomon. He was a man, he had a pure heart when he began to first reign over the land of Israel and Judea. And brother, but as he went along, he began to bring the women in from the other countries and marry them. The Bible said he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. And brother, he brought them in there, and he even began to build altars with God that they could worship their gods. He brought these idols into the land of Israel and into the land of Judah.
slid from God. And brother, I want you to know, God is not pleased, brother, with anybody. He said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And brother, I want you to know today, we may not set a little statue up in front of us today, but we can let anything that can become between us and God, brother, that can be an idol to us. Brother, it might be a home.
Hands
give up and quit. But let me tell you something today. Brother, you can begin to throw your hands up and you can begin to say, thank you, Jesus. And you can begin to call on the name of the Lord. And God will come to your rescue. And the enemy has to flee because the Bible said that he's given him a name above every name, that to him every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess, brother, that he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Brother, let me encourage you tonight to hold fast that confidence that you had, brother, that you've got now, and don't give up. And you might be thinking something to the effect of, Lord, I just can't go on. I've done everything I know to do, and it seems like the enemy just bites me harder and harder. Brother, the thing to do is to stand still and see the salvation of the army. See the salvation of the Lord. Brother, you just stop and tell the Lord, Lord, I'm giving this to you. I can't do this. And you begin to fight this battle for me. And when you begin to do that, God will begin to move in your behalf. And you'll begin to find yourself beginning to go on over. Brother, it's right to that God when he come to Moses after at the Red Sea. He couldn't go backwards. He couldn't go frontwards. If Moses had went back, I don't know if Pharaoh would have killed him or took him back to Egypt. But, brother, he couldn't go back into that because God had brought him out. But God told him, he said, go forward. He said, take your hand, divide the Red Sea. And he made a way where there seemed to be no way. And God will do that today. Bless God, I want you to know today, Jesus is a way maker. And you don't have to fight these battles yourself, but Jesus will fight these battles for you. He said, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. For some, when they have heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Brother, let me tell you today, brother, he said, if you hear his voice, to harden not your heart. I'll tell you today, the flesh is an enemy of God. And the Bible says the flesh is at enmity against God. In other words, your flesh is the enemy of God. And your flesh will want to do what you want to do. While the Spirit is trying to get you to do what God wants you to do. And there's a warfare going on there. But let me tell you today, brother, when you begin to dedicate your heart and your life to the Lord, and just as much as you know how to, and you give yourself to the Lord, bless God, God will come to you, and he'll begin to show you and teach you and give you understanding that you can go on and live for him. The Bible said it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come and to eternal life. And brother, I want you to know that all should come and be saved. Brother, I want you to know today, brother, don't harden your heart, but keep your heart soft. Let the Spirit of God come in. It's like when Mama used to need that dough of the morning, and she'd bake them biscuits, and she'd put the ingredients together, and she'd begin to need that flour and that dough, and brother, she'd get it mixed just right, and then she'd squeeze them biscuits out and put them in a pan to make them. Brothers, the same way, God will begin to need your heart. He'll begin to work with your heart. He'll soften your heart up. Brother, if you'll just let him, and there's no need to harden your heart, because if you get away from God, honey, it may take you a long time to ever get back to the Lord, and you don't want to be stuck out there like that. He said, for some, when they had heard, they did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Brother, God was grieved with them when he brought them out, brother, and they sinned against him. But, brother, I want you to know the Bible says, for if we sin willfully, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. Over here in the 10th chapter of the book of Hebrews, he said, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not to forsake given us the not forsaken the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully, we have no more. Let me back up. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. Brother, all you can do, he said over in the book of 1 John, he said, my little children, I write unto you that you sin not. He's telling us to sin not. But he said, but if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Listen to me. He don't only forgive us, but he cleanses us. Let me tell you tonight, God is ready, and God is waiting. You might say, now, brother, you've done said that if I get out there, I might stay no longer than I want to. Let me tell you today, folks, brother, when God begins to deal with you, brother, as God begins to deal with you and you begin to turn from that and turn back to him, he said, I will in no likewise cast you away. If he's you, he said, whoever come to me, I will in no likewise cast him away. And that don't matter who that is, but listen, there's no change, no reason to take a chance and going out there and backsliding and getting away from God. I'll tell you tonight, we can get away from God and we can backslide tonight if that's what we want to do. But I'll tell you, there's no reason to do that. Brother, I have no desire to do that. But he said this. He said, but a certain fearful looking for a judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries when you backslide from God. John was talking about crucifying Christ again, brother, and putting the stripes on him again. Brother, whenever that you backslide, brother, I want you to know today you become an adversary of God when you backslide and you go your own way. Brother, how many people has there been today that's backslid on God and never made it back to the Lord, brother, in the way of righteousness again? I don't know. I don't even care to think about, brother, the people. Brother, what I'm trying to say is, brother, I care about people. I love people, and I want to see people turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, and I want to see them get their hearts right with God. But, brother, there's a lot of people today that has turned their back on God. The Bible said that there'd be a great falling away. There'd be a great falling away before that the end would come. And, brother, I'll tell you, you go to the churches. Brother, the churches have got fewer numbers to them as to what they used to have. And that great falling away, it seemed like in here, it's with us now, it seemed like. I said, to whom? He said, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carts just fell in the wilderness? And to whom swore he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? And so we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Listen to me tonight, folks. There's a way that seems right unto man, but the end of his death. And brother, I'll tell you tonight, when you go out, brother, the Bible says if somebody comes up and smacks you on one cheek, to turn the other one to him. And brother, I want you to know, when you begin to turn to the Lord, brother, he will cause you to be humble. And you begin to humble yourself down, and you become more humble. And brother, the more humble you become, the more God can use you. And brother, there's nothing like Jesus choosing you tonight to work in the ministry or to work in the kingdom of God. God bless you. I hope you've got something out of this, and I appreciate this opportunity. Sister Green, go ahead. Praise the Lord tonight.
Praise God. This is Macedonian Call around the globe. I want to apologize again for the cutting in and out, Brother Eddie. It sounds real good. I don't know if it's our phone, the computer, or what it is, but it has truly been in and out. So, the message was pretty clear, and I thank God for that. If you're out there and you're backslid on God and you need to pray before it's too late, our We could be going into a third world war. We don't know. But, you know, we got to be ready whether we are or not. Our number could be tomorrow. We're not promised tomorrow, so we could get out here and something individually could happen, not just as a world event. But praise God. Very good message. If you want to be part of this broadcast, call in at 347-989-8862. Going to try to play this here song, and hopefully it's going to be okay. Praise God.
Thank you.
I wandered in darkness, and I traded my life for a worldly good time. No peace in my heart.
Amen.
I ever could find, and I.
Working back for the Lord. Praise the Lord. You know you're miserable. You know it'll never be right until you give your heart back to the Lord. Praise God. I guess I'm taking up a little bit too much time here, so I will turn it over. 423-545. Come on in and obey God.
Praise the Lord. Appreciate the wonderful opportunity, Sister Green, to come in to obey the Lord. I'd like
praise
to say that
Lord.
We're going to be having our street service September the 27th, 28th, down here in Madisonville, Tennessee, at the courthouse in between the two red lights and between Volunteer Federal and Monroe County Courthouse. So we want everybody to come and bring their lawn chairs and just have a great Holy Ghost two-night revival. I've got a scripture here I'd like to read by God's help. I'm going to start in Luke 9:62. You know, we're speaking tonight about backsliders. And you know, it says right here, and Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hands to the plow and looketh back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, he's talking about the people, as I believe it was Brother Eddie there a while ago, or Brother John one said, a man had to be saved, in other words, to look before he could ever look back. And, you know, this man here, undoubtedly he had been saved. But Jesus said that no man ever put his hands to the plow and looked back is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, I tell you what, today, people, there's people, as Brother Eddie said there a while ago, sin will take you further than you want to go. And it'll keep you longer than you want to stay. It's time that people rededicate their lives and come back to the Lord. It's time that people turn their lives around and come back. You know, let's look into Jeremiah there, 2:32. It says, praise the Lord. I'm going to let Betty read that for me.
Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number.
Praise the Lord. You know, God's word there says that God, that people have forgot God. You know, that's what's going on today. We look around, we see so many people that used to walk uprightly before God, that used to really have a dedicated life. But today you look at them, and you see them, they're walking disorderly amongst themselves. They're walking opposite from the direction that God would tell them to go. You know, the Bible says that for us to walk uprightly before Him and have a perfect life before Him. But if we forget God, then we forget everything. We forget God, and you know, a lot of people out there today have forgot God, and they're still saying that they're all right. People, I talk to them every day, and they say, well, I'm okay. I was once saved. I know the Lord. But my friend, I'm going to tell you, God's word tells us, it goes back up to the, again, back into Luke 9:62. No way that a man can ever take his eyes off from the plow and look back is fit for the kingdom of God. No way that you can take your eyes off from the Lord and look back into the sins of this world. I remember Lot's wife. I praise God, Lot's wife. Whenever the angels told Lot and his wife and the daughters to come out of Sodom and Gomorrah down there, and they begin to come out, and they told them not to look back. And we remember how Lot's wife turned as she looked back when she got up on the hill there, and she turned a pillar of salt because she looked back into the sins that she was leaving from down there, leaving her family and everything down there. Praise God, but she looked back and she turned to a pillar of salt. But if she just kept looking straight ahead, she could have went on out with Lot and his daughters. She could have went on, praise God, and had a life. But I tell you what, today people are doing the same thing. They're turning their back upon God every day. I tell you, it's time that people start seeking out the old path and start walking therein, start seeking the Lord's face and start crying out, God, have help. Have mercy on me that I can walk the way that you would have me to walk. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's look into Jeremiah 3 and 21 and 22.
A voice was heard upon the high places, weeping and supplications of the children of Israel, for they have perverted their way, and they have forgotten the Lord their God. Return, ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God.
Amen. Praise God. You see, God is telling them there, to just return, come back to him. You know, I tell you, there's one passage of scripture. It says that God is married unto the backsliders. I tell you, it's a time that people realize that they're grown cold on God, that they need to turn around and come back to him and say, Lord, just forgive me of my sins. Wipe the sins away. Make my slate clean again. And God is willing. I believe Brother Eddie brought it out there a while ago in 1 John over there, talked about if we'll just confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins, and his son blood will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm so thankful tonight that I know that we can go to God at any time, that we can cry out to him, and he's willing to hear us. He's willing to excuse us. He's willing to take the sins away from us. And he's willing to clean our lives up if we will confess our sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Let's look into Psalms 106 and verse 21. They forgot God, their Savior, which have done great things in Israel, Egypt. Praise the Lord. You know, people, they had forgot God. And I tell you what, they're still today forgetting God. They're forgetting all the great and mighty things that God did for them. I tell you, they were there. And just look there in Egypt, how that they Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and all them things come up on him because they wasn't willing to obey God. And you know, today, people, we need to turn our lives around and turn to God and say, Lord, I just have mercy on me. I just forgive me of my sins and my trespasses. I tell you, it's a time that people need to realize that God so loved them, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's look into Hosea 4 and verse 16. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a broad place, in a large place. Hallelujah. You know, Praise God. They had just backslid, and God, I was trying to get them back. And, you know, I want to read down here in this right here, Romans 6 and 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, tonight, my friend, we read right there, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, we can have that tonight. We can realize tonight that we can come back to the Lord and forget about the wages of sin. You know, I tell you, it's time that people turn back to the Lord. It's time that we look to the author and the finisher of our faith and say, Lord, have mercy on me, for I have sinned. I have come against you, Lord, and I want you to forgive me, and God will forgive us. You know, no man has ever put his hands. Let's read that again in Luke 9 and 62. I tell you, it's something tonight to think about. This is talking about a backslider. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hands to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know, think about it tonight, my friend. If you've ever known the Lord as your personal Savior, and you've took your eyes off from Him, and you've looked back into the sins of this world, you ain't fit for the kingdom of God. But you can look to the Lord, and He will forgive you of your sins. He will take care of you. Let's see. Come on, read, or have Betty read one more, or two more scriptures here. Then I'll turn it back to you there after this, Sister Green.
Jeremiah 2:19 says, thine own wickedness shall correct thee, and thy backsliding shall reprove thee. Know therefore, and see that it is an evil thing and bitter that thou hast forsaken the Lord thy God, and that my fear is not in thee, saith the Lord God of hosts.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And then Jeremiah 8:5-5 says, moreover, thou shalt say unto them, thus saith the Lord, shall they fall and not arise? Shall they turn away and not return? Why then is this people of Jerusalem slidden back by the perpetual backsliding? They hold fast deceit and refuse to return.
Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, that's the word of God tonight. And that's what every one of us has been preaching here tonight, is the word, and telling you that if you're a backslider out there, that you can return unto God. So I want to say, too, again, appreciate the opportunity to be able to come on this radio broadcast. We have a radio broadcast here every Tuesday evening from 6 until 8 on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also going to be having that street service the 27th and 28th of September here in Madisonville, Tennessee at 7 o'clock. So bring your lawn chair. Come on out and be with us. So I'll turn it back to you, Sister Green.
Praise God. We appreciate you, Brother Yearwood and Sister Betty, and thank God for what He's doing. Hallelujah. If you're that backslider tonight, we want to encourage you to pray. You could pray right now. Find you an altar and just begin to talk to the Lord, just like you did the first time you got saved, and just begin to talk to the Lord and tell Him and confess your sins to Him and just let Him renew you and write your name again in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you know, Brother Yearwood mentioned that scripture about being married to a backslider, and you know, someone once told me that means basically that they can never backslide, that they're married to, that He is married to them, and that He couldn't be backslid. And I was thinking how when Brother Yearwood had said that doesn't mean that you can't backslide or that you are forever okay with the Lord once you've repented the first time. You have to continually walk in this. He said, seek ye out the old path, and when you find it, walk therein. He also said another place, as straight is the way and narrow is the way, praise the Lord. But then there's a broad road that people take that leads to destruction. So, you know, being married to the backslider means He'll take you back. He made a covenant that none should perish, like Brother Yearwood was talking about. He wants you to come back and repent, and the wages of sin is death, and like Brother Yearwood was talking about. So that means to continually walk in the way of the Lord. Praise God. And God's so good, and I know we're having, we found out it's phone trouble, so we've got the cell phone on, and it's not having any mishaps in it, so you all probably didn't hear what we've been hearing, the cutting in and out, so praise God for that, and we apologize for it. We're going to have, praise the Lord, we're going to get another song here, and hopefully it's going to play all the way through. Hallelujah.
I know I've been changed. The water was cold.
That was Jeremiah Yoakum. His contact information is www.jeremiahyoakum.com. If you want any of his CDs and view his itinerary, also information about his church, go to www.redemptionroad.org.
Praise God. Sister Bonnie Burke, she says, pray for her granddaughter that is 15 and hard for us to deal with. We really need prayer as much as we care for her. It is so bad. Thank you. Brother Johnny Grigsby says, yes, pray for this country. Brother Philip Sinner says, American military as they go into Syria, innocents in harm's way. Over 2 million fleeing refugees with nothing to eat and going into northern Iraq. Elizabeth Jackson says, please pray for a speedy recovery for my back surgery and help getting off all these pain meds. I will need a lot of prayer to get through this and the withdrawals that come with being on the pain medicine for many years. Please, I need all the prayers I can get. Thank you all for prayers and support. Beth Jackson, pray for her. We know her. Many years ago, I used to watch her children, her three children, and about 2 years ago, I'm thinking, I think it was 2010, her daughter was probably 19, I'm thinking, was in an automobile accident, her and her boyfriend, and they both perished at that accident. And so I know Beth and her husband, Choppy, they call him, are really going through a great loss there, and just pray for them. And they're heavy on my heart tonight. So if you're out there and you're backslid, praise God, just come back to Him. It's as simple as that. Praise the Lord. Proverbs 14:14 says, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. That means we can't do our own thing, church. You know, we might think we're saved. We might be doing our own thing, but if we're not doing the will of God, you know, Moses, he missed it when he smote the rock, when God told him to speak to the rock. He missed Canaan's land. And, you know, we don't want to miss that beautiful land of full of milk and honey where we'll never grow old, where we'll never feel no pain, there'll never be a tear shed in heaven. Praise the Lord. And we don't want to miss that great city. And, you know, I tell you, if you end up like the rich man and down in hell, and there was a great gulf to fix between Lazarus, Abraham's bosom, and the rich man, and you know, he couldn't even get a drink of water. And you know the story there. We don't want to end up like him just because he was selfish and he wanted to do things his own way. Proverbs 14:14. I'm going to read it again. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Praise God. That means a lot right there. And at this time, we're going to turn this over to my husband, Evangelist Clint Green. And before we go out there, we want to pray again. We want to pray for all the needs tonight. Praise the Lord. And if you want to call in, if you want to get saved again, if you want to come back, if this has all been for you tonight, why don't you go ahead and call in? It's 347-989-8862. You do not have to tell us who you are. If you just want us to pray, who all's preached here tonight, We'll be happy to pray with you. Praise God. If you've never been saved, you want to get saved and just don't know how, again, it's 347-989-8862. If you want to reach us by email, it is heisrisen38@aol.com. Again, heisrisen38@aol.com. Praise God. Here's Brother Evangelist Clint Green.
Praise God. It's good to be with you tonight. I thank God for all the ones that called in tonight and appreciated good preaching from all the preachers and the things that's been said. And I tell you, we're living in perilous times. We're living in the last days, and the Bible tells us in the last days that many would depart from the faith, and they would not endure sound doctrine, but they'd heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they'd be turned unto fables. And I say this many times, I guess, but we're living in that time. We're living in a great falling away that I believe one of the preachers tonight talked about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The Bible said before the Lord came back and gathered his people unto himself that there would be a falling away first. And we're surely living in that day. We're probably getting right down close to the time of the mark of the beast. We don't know when the Lord's coming, but we know he's coming. You know, there's different opinions on when will he come. But I tell you, the thing that makes the difference tonight is, are you ready when he comes? Because if you're not ready when he comes, you'll be left behind. You'll be lost, praise God. And I'm not so sure tonight there'll be another opportunity that you'll be able to get saved if you've missed making heaven your home because you just waited too long, you know, to call on God. You made a decision. You know, we're talking about tonight about decisions, talking about can you backslide. And we know that the backslider had to make a decision somewhere that he was going back into sin because he didn't have to go back into sin. You know, he was tempted, no doubt. The Bible tells us that we're all tempted. But, you know, Jesus was tempted in all points, yet without sin. So we know that tonight that we have power over the devil because once we have become a child of God, that we repented of our sin and God sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father, and he give us power over sin, praise God. So if we go out here and sin, it's because we made a choice to sin. It's because, actually, it's because we're a free moral agent. I was thinking about Adam in the garden, praise God, and, excuse me, Adam was a man that was placed in a beautiful garden. And I want to read you a little bit of this tonight. He was placed in that beautiful garden in Genesis chapter 2. And I want to start at verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So God took this man, made this man in his own image. The Bible tells us he made man in his own image. He made him after his likeness, and he placed him in that garden, and he said to him to have dominion. And, you know, it says, let them have dominion. And he said there in verse 26 of chapter 1, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. Praise God. And in verse 26 there, it says, and let them have dominion. He said, let them have dominion. So when he created Adam, he wanted Adam to have dominion over everything that creeped upon the earth and everything in the sea and everything that flew in the firmament of heaven. that flew, you know, in the air, the birds and the beasts and all creeping things, and God give him dominion. But here came the devil, and, you know, the devil came into that garden, and he was already in rebellion. You see, sin didn't originate on earth. It originated in heaven. There was war in heaven and the angels' fault. Satan tried to usurp authority over God, and God casted him out and cast him into the earth, and his third part of the angels with him, the Bible says. And he fell from his own grace, you might say. We're talking about tonight grace. So we're looking at grace. Is there such a thing as, that a man can't backslide? Well, if a man can't backslide tonight, I wonder how it was that Adam ended up on the outside of that garden. Because he was in a perfect place. And the only thing in there was the devil came in. But you know what? God said, I've given you power over everything that creeps upon the earth and everything that moves and everything that flies and everything in the sea. And I've given you dominion over it. And he had dominion over the devil, praise God. And he was in that beautiful garden. And the garden had everything in it that he needed, praise God. And I want to read a little bit more here over in the 15th verse of the second chapter. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. So God told Adam, he said, you go and you do what I told you not to do. In other words, you break my law that I've given you. And he only had one law there, basically. And that was to keep the garden and also not to eat of that one tree. And that he was to have dominion and he was to keep the garden, praise God. But, you know, he lost the garden. The garden got away from him because he went and broke the law of God. He transgressed the law. He crossed the line. See, that's what a backslider has to do to backslide. He has to cross the line. He has to go back on God. He has to make a choice. You know, every day I get up, I make a choice. Am I going to live for God today? You know, that's basically the way it is. I'm saved. I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus, and the Bible said, you know, the one song they sung a little while ago said, I know I've been changed. Well, I know I was changed when I went down to that altar and I gave my heart to God. I know I've been changed. I know I wasn't the same as I was before. I had a new heart. I had a new mind. I wanted to do the things of God. But, you know, the tempter is always sneaking around. He's always coming around trying to tempt you to go back on God. I thought about how the Bible said that the unclean spirit, it goes out of a man and he walks through dry places seeking rest and findeth none. And he says to himself, I'm going back to my house whence I came out. And when he goeth back, the Bible said that he takes seven spirits more wicked than himself, and he come back, and he find the house swept and garnished, and he enters back into that house. But I want to tell you something tonight. He can't get in that house if you don't let him in, praise God. If you don't let him in that house, he can't get in because God's given you a will, and you don't have to sin. You see, the only way the devil can get in your house is if you start sinning on God, if you start turning back, just like Adam did there in the garden, and he broke the law of God. He turned his back on the things of God, in other words, and he partook of that tree, which God told him not to partake of, and he ate, and we know that he blamed it on his wife. But, you know, Adam didn't have to do that, even though his wife had already went into that garden and ate of that tree. Well, she probably would have died, no doubt. I don't know how long she would have lived. But, you know, God had mercy, even though that they had sinned against God. He had mercy. And if you're a backslider tonight, it's not the end of the road. You know, like Brother different ones tonight, and Brother Yearwood was talking about Jeremiah's day there and the shape that Israel was in. And, you know, it wasn't the end of the road. God told them that they could get things right. But they went on, and they went on, and they went on. And one place in there in the Scripture said that they went so far that there was no remedy. And, you know, you can go to the place where there be no remedy. And I tell you tonight, if you're hearing this broadcast tonight, there is a remedy. And that remedy is at the foot of the cross. That remedy is to make yourself an altar and call upon the name of the Lord and seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while that he is near, because he's not far from any one of us. The Bible tells us over there in Acts chapter around the 16th chapter, I believe it is, when Paul was preaching there on Mars Hill, and he told them people, these was unsaved people he was talking to, and he said, the Lord is not far from any of us. You see, God is not far off. He's not way out there somewhere where he can't be reached. But no, he can be reached. And if you come through the name of Jesus, you can find salvation. All we're talking about, can a man backslide? Well, we see examples in the Bible where many men did. One of them preached tonight on Samson. Samson backslid on God. Samson had power like no man had ever had. He had the physical strength that the power of God had come on him, and the Spirit of the Lord would quicken his body, and he would do great feats. He killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of an ass, and he said heaps upon heaps. He just heaped them up. He must have been moving so fast they couldn't even see him. But I don't know how it was, but praise God. Anyhow, the Lord will take you back. I thought that he got in between them two big pillars that day, and they was making sport of him. And you know what he said, Lord, remember me one more time. And you know God remembered him, and he'll remember you if you're out there and you're backslid tonight. Now, I'll tell you, you made some wrong choices, and I'll tell you, God will forgive sin. Christ died on that cross to forgive men of their sins. I was thinking tonight about, over there, the prodigal son. We had that song about the prodigal son over in the 15th chapter there of the book of Luke. And I want you to know it wasn't just the prodigal son that Jesus was talking about that day. Praise God. But in this whole chapter, the 15th chapter, he talks about the lost sheep. And he also talks about the lost coin. And then he talks about the lost son. Praise God. I want you to hear this. It says, what man of you? Well, let me back up. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? You see, there is a place that people can backslide. This man had 100 sheep. He had 100 sheep, and if he lost one of them, you see, one of them was lost. He got out there where he shouldn't have gotten. He got out there somewhere close to danger, probably out there where the wolves and everything was at. The Bible said, if he lose one of them, doth he not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I'll tell you tonight, if you're not saved, you're lost. If you're not saved tonight, you might once was a Christian. Maybe one day you went down to an altar and you prayed and you gave your heart to the Lord. But does the Lord have your heart tonight? Or are you out there on the cold, bleak mountains of sin, as one preacher preached at one time long years ago? I heard him. He was preaching on people backslid on God, and he was telling about how he was one day out there on them cold, bleak mountains of sin, and the Lord came by. And I tell you, if we was all lost at one time, there's none righteous, no, not one. All of sin and come short of the glory of God. But I tell you, once we come to Christ, we should be have his righteousness in our life. We shouldn't be continuing in sin, thinking that grace may abound. Because Paul said over there in Romans chapter 6, God forbid that we should continue in sin. See, we don't have to continue in sin. We're not bound by sin anymore once that we're saved. But if sin's got a hold on you, it's because you went back on God. I tell you, you can get deliverance. You can get God on your side. And whatever's a hang-up in your life, you and God together can destroy that mountain, can get that mountain out of your life, can get that thing out of your life, whatever that might be. Because when you go to Christ and go to God for salvation and you repent of your sins, praise God, then you've got power with God. And I want to go a little further here. Praise God. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. You see, the house of God, you got a lot of people that don't need no repentance because they've already repented. But if one man or woman, a boy or girl, gets out from the place that they ought to be in God, and they get out of the house of God, and not only out of the house of God, but they get out from under the goodness of God. They get out away from the teachings of the Lord and start committing sin. And he says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. See, it takes repentance to get us back in line with God. And this is what he's talking about. He's talking about a sinner repenting. And that's what gave them occasion there to rejoice. They was going to rejoice because one sinner repented and he come back to God. And he says here in verse 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, here he goes again. He says, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. So you see, if there's no repentance, there's no reconciliation. There has to be repentance to be reconciled to God. And that's what we're all about, the church tonight, the body of Christ, the servants of God, the handmaidens of God, the preachers and evangelists, pastors. What they're about tonight is they're ambassadors for Christ. They're trying to get people to realize that if they're sinning, they're not going to make heaven their home. If they're committing sin, it only took one sin to get Adam out of the garden, praise God, but it only takes a short time to repent. You just got to get on your knees, and you got to call on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you got to ask him to forgive you of your sins and to take you back and be sorry for your sins. You know, it goes on down here. It talks about the prodigal son going into the far country, into the hog pen, and he took all his living. He had everything that the father had given him, and he took it into that far country, and he wasted his substance with riotous living. He just lived it up. He just went the way of the world. He went the worldly way instead of the Christian way. The Bible tells us to love not the world, the things that are in the world. And we're teaching on backsliding tonight. Don't you go out there and backslide. Don't you grow weary in well-doing. Keep on fighting the good fight of faith. Keep on standing for Jesus and let the world go by. You know, everything's not sin, but if you get into something that is sin, you better be looking for a way to get out, because if you're born again, you should be looking for a way to get out of sin. If you get trapped in sin, or you fell short and come up short with the Lord, and you've done things you shouldn't have done, well, just repent. Just get right back up and go on back and humble yourself under the hand of God and seek Him and call upon Him and, rededicate your life to Him. Praise God. He gives people a space of repentance, but there can come a time when He'll just cut you off because He won't always put up with sin. Praise God. There come a day when He'll say, that's enough. And not only that, the devil will get a hold on you. The devil's not your friend. He's not my friend. I tell you, he might paint a pretty picture, but at the end of that, on the other side of that picture, there could be some ugly things coming down the road, I tell you. Cigarettes will bring cancer on, whether you know it or not, and the alcohol will eat up your brain and your liver, drinking alcohol and things like that. And if you're a Christian, I tell you, put away these things. If you think it's just all right to sip on a little bit of a beer or whatever it is every once in a while, but I say you need to come clean. Need to come clean and not take chances. The man that never drinks the first drop, he'll never be an alcoholic. But the one that drinks a little bit here and there, pretty soon he's liable to be a drunk, and he's liable to lose out with God. And it's better not to bring your children up teaching them kind of things, but it's better to bring them up living holy and righteous and godly, because the Bible said to live that way in this present life. Praise God, looking unto Jesus, looking for the soon coming of Christ. Praise God. I'm going to have to turn it here in a minute back over to Joanna. But I thought about the Father was a great way off, you know, but the Father ran and hugged that boy's neck. Now, let me tell you, the Father was happy to see him back. The Father wouldn't make him come back. The Father left it up to him. See, we're God made man in his own image, but he gave us a free will that we can will to do good or will to do bad. I can get up in the morning and say, I ain't never serving God again. See, I can, because I got a will to do so. God won't stop me. But he'd be mighty grieved. He'd be mighty grieved if I just quit serving him. And I ain't about to do that, praise God. But I got to stay up praying, and I got to stay in tune with him, or my mind will get to wandering, and pretty soon that old man will try to get back up. But don't let that old man get back up, praise God. And I'm going to turn it back to Joanna.
Praise God. It's time to pray now, and we've got two more prayer requests. Sister Roberta Harder, she says her youngest daughter needs a financial blessing. She is a Christian struggling in college. Our oldest daughter needs to find a home. Sister Rhonda Rudd says, I need prayer for my heart. I do not want to have surgery. So pray for those as well as all the others that we've mentioned tonight. And one Sister Betty mentioned, and all unspoken requests out there, God knows exactly what you have need of. And at this time, if we just go to prayer, praise the Lord.
Dear God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for, again, another Friday night, Lord, to be able to be on the broadcast, Lord, and to reach, Lord, the world out there. And Lord God, we ask that you move on all these spoken requests, dear God, on Facebook, and that you begin to move in lives, dear Lord, and answer the prayers, God. And I would just pray, Lord, touch your heart, dear God, and help her, Lord, and not to have surgery. Sister Roberta's children, dear Lord, that you don't daughters there that she mentioned, God.
Meet the financial
Lord, touch Elizabeth Jackson there, Lord God. Help her get off the pain medication. You see her heart's desire, Lord. And Lord, touch Brother Johnny Grigsby, touch his request on our country. And Brother Philip Sinners, dear Lord, remember that, Lord Jesus. And Sister Bonnie Burke with her granddaughter, dear God. And Lord Jesus, get a hold of that girl, 15 years old. Lord, help her, Lord. And Sister April Fox, dear God, you see what she has as an unspoken request, Lord. And Michael Fullen, the lady that wants to move closer to the church, dear God, help her. And Lord, help Brother Michael, dear God, in decisions that he's getting ready to make. And Lord, for moving him up in spiritual levels, dear Lord. And God, touch Sister Amanda Kirby, Lord, aunt. Karen Bryant, dear Lord, and all the requests, dear Lord, Sister Betty turned in, and God, you see the needs there, Lord. If there's someone out there listening under the sound of our voice that might be backslid, dear God, bring them back to the fold, Lord. In the name of Jesus, God, we thank you and we praise your holy name. Praise God.
Jesus.
Praise God. And until next week, we'll see you then. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.